As you can see, I am a bhikkhu, a Buddhist monk, who's been living in Thailand now for over 40 years. And I am not here today, or on your screen at least, intending to give a Dhamma discourse, but to share a few thoughts and reflections on well-being, mental health, and some ideas and principles that you may be able to apply in your own life. Following this recorded talk, there will be a live Q&A session. So if I'm not addressing things that you're interested in hearing about, or at least not in the kind of detail you would like, or if there are some other things that you would like to talk about, then there will be an opportunity for that. I think the first point I would like to make is that as students of a particular discipline, especially one as challenging and complex as study of medicine, that it can become all-encompassing, it can become overwhelming, and maybe forget the big picture, if you like. And as Buddhists, we talk a lot about lifetime learning and seeing the that we really achieve our fullest humanity through personal development. And that personal development is something that has to be systematic, well-grounded, evidence-based, but that is something that we have to do for ourselves, take responsibility for ourselves, and we have to find time for it, because the time doesn't arrive and appear by itself. We have to see the value of putting aside some time every day for our own humanity and our own well-being. So the study of medicine, we can say in one way, is a subset of a study of life itself. And the more that we study our life, study our experience and learn from our experience, then I believe that it will have a very positive effect on the study of individual subjects or your own practice of medicine. So the chief underlying principle or idea here is that we act, speak, use our minds in such a way that lead to our own happiness and welfare, and simultaneously the happiness and welfare of others. And this again is based upon the idea that these two are interrelated, or in fact inseparable. That is to say, to help others well, consistently, over a long period of time, over years, over a whole career, that looking to one's own spiritual welfare and emotional, physical welfare is essential. Otherwise, run the risk of burnout and And I think that is something that you've all seen and heard about, at least. So, yes, this is the first point I'd like to make today, that there is a kind of a work, an inner work, that is not compulsory. You're not going to get much pressure on you to do this inner work. And the results are not easily measurable. And there will be so many other things that will seem to be more important in the short term, but that I would suggest are in the long term well worth the time, well worth the effort. Now, the from Buddhist perspective, we are beings who don't like to suffer and like to be happy, or would like to be happy. These are kind of bedrock principles, I think, of for human beings of whatever religious persuasion, or of no religious persuasion at all. And if we can accept that statement, then it leads us on to, I think, four important challenges in life. First, if we don't like to suffer, don't want to suffer, then we need to study and learn how to prevent the causes of suffering from arising in our minds. And given the fact that, realistically speaking, we're unable to do that very well or consistently, a second challenge is, how do we let go of, how do we abandon the causes of suffering within our minds that have already appeared? So if we, just to state that again, we don't want to suffer. Human beings, we don't like to suffer. Mental suffering, as opposed to physical suffering, has causes and conditions. Those causes and conditions can be recognized by someone who turns their attention within and examines their experience. And we can learn, and it is a wise thing to do, to learn how to prevent the causes of suffering from arising. And it's also a wise thing to do, something we should do, is learning how to deal skillfully with the causes of suffering that have already appeared in our mind. In the case of happiness, similarly, it's given how important happiness is in our lives, it is something that we need to look at more closely. And what do we mean by happiness? Is it valid to make a distinction between pleasure and happiness? Or are there different levels of happiness? If there are different levels of happiness, are the different levels of happiness compatible? Or does the realization of some kinds, enjoyment of some kinds of happiness, depend upon the relinquishment of some other types of happiness? So this is, I think, is such an important study which very few people really embark upon. Here again, Buddhist hypothesis is the more profoundly satisfying kinds of happiness are dependent upon positive mental states within the mind. And those positive mental states can be recognized, and that they can be systematically introduced, brought into the mind, and they can, having appeared in the mind, they can be further developed and brought to stability and maturity. So here the idea is that if we can cultivate the inner sources of happiness independent of external situations, then we are in a superior state to one whose happiness is dependent upon external conditions over which one has little or no control. So this inner source of happiness and external sources of happiness can be combined. Here the principle being that we have certain ethical and moral standards that we uphold, and we having the inner sources of happiness within us, so we don't feel that we're lacking or that we need in the same way those external forms of happiness, that we can, if we wish, pursue them in a way that just causes no harm and suffering to ourselves and others as a result. So this is a practical Buddhist approach to the challenge of living in a difficult world and with so many pressures and temptations and so many opportunities to lose our way, and where the conditions which are conducive to anxiety, stress, depression far outweigh the external conditions conducive to happiness and contentment and fulfillment. So it's something that demands our own concerted effort. I think my time is running out already. I wanted to make a couple of points. One is that the world is changing so rapidly, and technologies are developing at exponential pace, and your own studies, like those of students in other disciplines, are going to be subject to change, and a lot of what you're learning right now maybe will not be so relevant in the future. You know, we're looking at a future with nanotechnology, AI, 3D printing of medicines, for example. So many areas of medicine are going to change radically over the next years. And for that reason, I think that it's the immeasurable and those areas of caring for others and healing others, which are not replicable through technology, that will be most valuable for doctors in the future. Some time ago, I read an article comparing the success rates of various kinds of psychotherapy, and the conclusion of the study was that there was no clear correlation between the school of psychotherapy and the outcomes, but there was a clear correlation between the connection between the therapist and the therapy, or the patient and the outcome, where there was a real sense of warmth and trust and connection, the outcomes were much better, right across, independently of the particular techniques that the therapist was applying. And I think that as I teach teachers, you know, you teach who you are. And as a doctor, you know, you who you are, how you appear, how you relate to your patient is an important part of the healing process. And that's not something that you can learn in a book. It comes from your own ethical, spiritual development. So in summary, I would suggest, this is a hypothesis, that developing one's own spiritual path, finding what is leads to true happiness and true welfare for oneself, can be and should be pursued in harness with, in harmony with the effort to promote the health and well-being of others. Thank you.